The information presented is for informational purposes only. The opinions expressed are not necessarily the opinions of any Daikin company. This information should not be confused for accounting, legal, medical, or other professional advice. Please seek advice from a qualified professional for any specific questions.
Welcome to the Accelerated HVAC Success Program. My name is Ben Middleton. I'm the National Sales Training Manager for the Goodman, Amana, and Daikin brands. Today, we're joined here with Kelly Hernsberger. He is the Vice President of Advanced Product Marketing and Innovation. Kelly, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Ben. Pleasure to be here.
So, Kelly, the first question I ask everybody that comes in, how in the world did you get into the HVAC industry?
Great question. Yeah. Having worked in aerospace and automotive, technology roles, and then various account management roles. Love technology, but then when that time was up, I saw a transition to a marketplace that I knew there was a lot of innovation and opportunity for technology advancement, and it still was kind of intriguing to me that people are buying products from people.
Hmm.
You know, it feels really personal in this industry, so I like that a lot.
Okay. And so you've got a mouthful of a title, Advanced Product Marketing yeah. and Innovation. Tell me about what you're doing working on Daikin future products.
Yeah, thanks. Well, so first of all, equipment is paramount, and we all know that we have to deliver solutions to the marketplace. So it goes without saying, heat pumps, inverters, that technology is really exciting, and transforming the marketplace with those products is a primary mission of Daikin. And so working on how to transmit that value to the marketplace. So things like our cold climate heat pump challenge, we've really advanced heat pump technology to migrate further and further north, where previously it would have been unimaginable to have a heat pump in the north. But then also expanding on bringing water heating services to North America with Daikin equipment. So there's a variety of things that we're doing to advance the technology in North America.
So tell me a little bit about the cold climate heat pump challenge. I think they've been talking about it for several years now. But for all of our listeners out there, what is that exactly?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I get that a lot. So what was transpiring a few years ago is the Department of Energy wanted to stimulate technology so that we could advance heat pumps deeper into the north or have all-weather heat pumps and have less reliance on fossil fuels. So trying to imagine electrification with heat pumps in cold climates. So the challenge basically was to utilize the latest imaginable technology and stretch manufacturers a bit to produce, heat pumps that would give heating down to minus 15 degrees Fahrenheit. And to do that with as little, if not very little or no, electric resistance heating assistance. So that was the primary idea behind the challenge.
Now, I mean, you came from the automotive sector, and they have a lot of really cool concept cars that never really make it to market.
Right.
And then even sometimes they'll make a really, you know, way out there vehicle, but they do a very limited production run on it. Some manufacturers, I think, maybe took that kind of a role to the heat pump challenge and brought out a very, you know, futuristic type product, if you will, but not quite ready for the typical homeowner. How did Daikin meet that challenge differently?
Yeah, great question. Actually, just to back up, there were a few manufacturers that engaged in and made a commitment to the challenge but couldn't make it.
Mm.
So there were some people's, some manufacturers' designs that, for whatever reason, they just didn't have the strength in the heat pump or maybe even the resources at the time. Given that aside, there were other manufacturers that produced some very expensive-looking heat pumps. And mind you, this technology is not cheap. It does take a little bit more expense and cost in the product. But what Daikin did was we made a commitment to bring the product to market. And I'm happy to say that after all that development time, our engineers put a design together with our product marketing team, and we have formally announced that introduction to the marketplace. And so that product is available today, especially to the folks in the north, but it's an all-weather heat pump, right? Mm. So you actually get these nice benefits of the advanced technology to deliver more BTUs and cooling in high ambient conditions. So that's why we typically call it the all-weather heat pump.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's really cool. You talked about some other innovations that you're working on and putting together. I think, you know, you guys have done some stuff to make air handlers more available in more applications.
Right. Yeah, so what we did there, Ben, was we took the technology from the heat pump, recognizing that even our standard series heat pump in climate zones, say 1, 2, possibly even in 3, in these more milder climates, we've proven now that you don't need any electric backup heat in the heating mode. And that's what I think a lot of people had just not recognized before with heat pump technology. So now what we're doing is we're marrying that up, matching that up with 115-volt air handler. And when you do that, you remove a barrier on installation to upgrade the electrical to when you remove a gas furnace. Mm-hmm. You only had 115-volt connection. So now you put in 115-volt air handler, and you've streamlined the installation. So not only do you meet the homeowners or consumers' needs with a strong heat pump for heating, you did so without very little cost to transition them.
And I think you can even back that up with some studies you did with a fairly popular university here in Texas.
Yeah, that's right. We do a lot of work with university settings, and there's a small university here just north of our facility, and we do a lot of work with them, Texas A&M University. Mm-hmm. I can call them out. They're great partners, and they do a lot of research and study with thermal sciences. Mm-hmm. And so we've been working with them for quite some time now, and tremendous amount of data and partnership there to show the marketplace what's happening. But not just there, also we've worked with multiple universities, University of Maryland. There's a Daikin Innovation Lab there. There's multiple areas in the country where we've done independent studies to verify the strength of these heat pumps.
So with all of that said, it sounds like you're making some really tremendous progress in heat pumps. I can't wait to see some of the future products that you roll out and put out. But you also mentioned water heating.
Yeah, I did. That's an interesting product development for us, because what we're seeing in the European market, in Asia and Oceania, we see markets there that have already transitioned and made a lot of effort to move away from fossil fuels, or they've actually just had significant an incentive to make improvements in energy efficiency. A growing population, not keeping up the industry energy production, not keeping up with the population growth. Mm. And so they've had to rely on renewables or other energy efficiency strategies. And to do that, they've transitioned their water heating to heat pump water heating. And we've seen a trend here in the United States where there's been a movement now to advance water heating beyond just fossil fuel tank or an electrode, a straight electrode water heating element. And now a lot of manufacturers are recognizing how to get into the marketplace with high COP, high efficient water heating. Daikin's made a commitment to do this now, and we're transitioning the first launch this fall. It's our Altherma product line, and it's been in production for multiple years in Europe and around the world, and we're happy to bring that here.
So you've got some great heat pump technology, obviously working with our inverter technology on both the air side and water side.
Right.
Let's talk a little bit about the control side of things and some of the innovation and things that you're looking at there.
Right, right. So yeah, and that's a really good acknowledgement, Ben, to bring that all together, because equipment alone is not enough. Mm. We have to provide more services to the consumers. And the way we see it is if a home energy usage, let's say heating, space cooling, and domestic hot water could be as much as more than 50% of the energy usage in a home. And so Daikin feels a responsibility to help manage that energy more wisely. And so we have, we've been working on for years now to express the strength of our diagnostics and services and cloud services. And that's where the consumers get the cool app and they can see things on their app. They can control their temperature and things like that. But in the background, there's a lot of data analytics that are seeing how that energy is being used. And the contractors can see faults or diagnostics. They can understand what's happening with the equipment. But beyond that now, where we see things going is the ability to help manage energy savings. And I think that's where you have the supply side meeting the demand side. In the middle, that perfect intersection is all about energy management systems. And Daikin are uniquely focused now on how to deliver solutions in that space.
One of the terms that I've heard you bring up several times, I think you may have actually been the original coiner of this term, is the super electrifiers.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Love talking about super electrifiers, Ben. And maybe I did, maybe I didn't. But the concept is quite simple. If you look at a home and if you think about it from an energy perspective, the first thing you would want to do is look at the envelope and understand, is the envelope properly addressed in a home? Windows, insulation, is it properly ventilated? There are a variety of things that you would look at. And some of those are just from the perspective of doing a proper energy audit or even a manual J calculation for heating and cooling. But beyond that, then, there's you certainly would need to know heating and cooling in our business. And then you would need to understand the electrical usage of the home. So now you're getting into energy understanding, energy conservation, and techniques. And then beyond that, there's still plumbing and a variety of things that are kind of ancillary to the home. But if you combine all of those techniques, if you could find a contractor that's doing that, which is around, let's say, maybe tops 5% of the market, they're accelerating their profit, their margin, their services to their community. And they're growing significantly because they understand solar and battery storage and how these techniques blend together. That's what we call a super electrifier. And it's really exciting because when that light bulb goes on in a contractor's mind and they have the eagerness to expand their services, the sky's the limit.
You know, it's interesting. There's a lot of exciting stuff that you're talking about here, but one thing that kind of goes in the back of my mind, how do you see the current political climate impacting all of these great initiatives that are happening within our industry?
Yeah, Ben, that's a great question, and I get that a lot. There's always chatter around my household, too, about what's happening politically, but what I would say is that if you look at the long-term trend, and yes, perhaps there's a different policy today than there was, you know, before this administration came in, but regardless of policy, there's always this need for energy efficiency and savings in the home. That will never dismiss. No policy can dismiss that requirement. And so whether or not a rebate pops up or disappears, or a government incentive program pops up or disappears, what I believe is that the North American awareness of how they can save money in their home and be more comfortable, that needs to be satisfied regardless. So I think contractors can potentially just reduce that noise in the industry and keep focused on providing the best services and equipment that they can to homeowners. And you can do that with energy-efficient equipment, and the homeowners save money regardless if there's a rebate there or not.
So I guess to pick your brain a little bit, if I'm a contractor today listening to this and starting to think, well, how do I get involved in that? What are some of the first steps that you would suggest that a contractor does to start looking at maybe even becoming a full super electrifier, if you will?
Love that, because I think there's a natural progression. Number one, if you don't have those other services in your business today in your portfolio, you need to investigate what it would take to either obtain that license, get educated, go to the marketplace and get those certifications or those professional licenses. If you're not able to do that easily, then what I would suggest is get married up or coupled up with other companies that have those services and start blending those together. So that you could easily phone a friend. But it all starts with an energy audit. And there are lots of municipalities, states, and cities that will offer some sort of energy audit assistance to a home. So normally it could be as simple as $250, $300 per energy audit. But what that affords a contractor to do is see the full picture of the home. And even if that rebate or that incentive is not there, it's still in the contractor's best interest to do that investigation anyway. But I think having an awareness that those other services are available for a contractor to serve that homeowner, and then seeing how you can expand your business at your comfort level to reach those. So I think it starts with education. And then it starts with an eagerness to grow your business.
Well, Kelly, thank you so much for joining us. I always ask this question, last question. Do you have any last words of wisdom or thoughts that you want to share with our viewers?
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think when it's all said and done, everyone in this industry is waking up every morning trying to do the right thing. And I think the best advice I could give contractors and even consumers that might be listening to this is just focus on what's right. Don't get bothered by the noise and various things in the industry that can be distracting. Just focus on what's right for you and your home and your business, and stay true to that.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming in.
Oh, thanks, Ben. Appreciate it. Yeah.
And for all of you that are out there, if you liked this episode, go ahead, hit that like button. Also, make sure that you hit the follow button so that you're informed of all of our upcoming episodes. Until next time.